In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the final months of this year, almost every day, it seemed, newspapers and news feeds were full of stories from more and more women who, after years of fear and silence, spoke out about the ill treatment and abuse they had received from powerful men in Hollywood and Washington. Now, it's very easy for us to look at the speck in our brother's eye and ignore the plank in our own, and we might take cold comfort in the fact that we're not as wicked as a man like Harvey Weinstein. And I'm not trying to demonize these men to make us all feel better. But I do think that such a toxic culture of disrespect towards women is not confined to powerful men in Hollywood and Washington. It is a culture that we see on our own TV and computer screens, perhaps a culture that we encounter in our workplaces. But the Catholic Church has met this kind of toxic culture before, and the Catholic Church has been able to transform such a culture. In the ancient worlds where Christianity began, there was a pattern of disrespect towards women. It was a common practice to abandon female infants, to expose them to death. Young women were hardly ever educated, and they were married at an exceptionally young age. One of the first things that the Catholic Church did when it became tolerated in the Roman Empire, just a few years after the Roman Emperor Constantine stopped persecuting Christians, he passed legislation to make it illegal to expose a female infant to death. The Church founded schools for young women attached to convents. And finally, the Church required that a young woman be able to give her free consent before she was married, raising the marriage age to when women could understand the duties and the expectations of marriage. We might ask why the Church had such a revolutionary attitude towards the dignity and the status of women. Because as we heard in the Gospel, the Church had learned, along with the shepherds, to kneel before the image of a mother and her child. In honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, the Church had learned what it meant to honor all women. This truth is borne out by a secular historian, and if you'll allow me, I'll quote from him at length. This was written by an anti-Catholic historian, even. He wrote, "The world is governed by its ideals, and seldom or never has there been one which exercised a more salutary influence than the medieval conception of the Blessed Virgin. For the first time, woman was elevated to her rightful position, and the sanctity of weakness was recognized, as well as the sanctity of sorrow. No longer the slave or the toy of man, no longer associated only with ideas of degradation and sensuality, woman rose in the person of the Virgin Mother into a new sphere and became an object of reverential homage of which antiquity had no conception." We might wonder at how we are to face our own toxic culture. How can we learn, as the early Church did, to respect and honor women in the way that the Church was able to teach the generations of antiquity? I think if we kneel with the shepherds at the manger, we see three virtues that transformed the ancient world and can transform our own time. They are humility, charity, and purity. They're easily counterfeited and easily misunderstood. Humility in the ancient world was a quality of a slave, And all of us know how unfortunate false humility is, or just underrating our achievements because of good manners or not wanting to be boastful in front of others, but real humility, how different it is, how brightly it shines when we catch sight of it. The man who can be ignored and not bothered by it, the woman who can accept that her successful rival was the better candidate, how we admire these people, even if we think they might be too humble, we still admire it. And that is because we see the humility of Almighty God, who decided to be born of a young woman without any status. Charity. In the ancient world, perhaps in our own world, you look after your friends and families. You don't care so much about people you've never heard of. And yet, the church was able throughout the whole world to inspire a love of strangers. Who of us who's heard the gospel, the parable of the Good Samaritan, can forget the duty that we owe not just to our close family and friends, but the charity we owe to all strangers whenever we find them in need? For us to treat everyone with the same kind of love that we find displayed for us by Mary, the Mother of God. Finally, purity. Now, purity in the ancient world meant cleanness of the body. They didn't worry much about purity of mind. And yet we know, as our Lord says, that all sins, even the sins of sense, start in the mind. It is difficult in our day, I think, to persuade people that there is such a thing as purity. They get it mixed up with ignorance or being a prude or having a morbid horror that is sometimes found in ill-adjusted natures. But there is such a thing as purity, a purity which sees the facts of life as they are, but has too much sense of the rich, living thing that marriage is, or the bright, delicate thing that virginity is, to spoil either with brooding thoughts or sniggering. And so if we would honor our Blessed Lady today on the feast of her divine motherhood, let us honor all women. As we kneel before the Virgin Mother with her son in the crib, let us ask the Lord to give us hearts that are respectful of all women, remembering how God respected the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.